Something that I don't usually say. Ordinarily, when we have a service where people are gathered here in the sanctuary, at the end of the service, I give an invitation. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can walk the aisle and share that with the congregation. Or if there's some other significant decision that you make, you may come forward and share it with me. If the Lord calls you to preach or into some type of ministry, you may come and share it with the congregations. But we can't do that with you in the parking lot or on the website. So let me encourage you. If you give your heart to Jesus, call me or call one of the deacons from our church. Call a Christian friend and share. Today I gave my heart to Jesus. If you make some other significant decision that really makes a difference, I pray that you'll call me or one of the deacons or someone else to let them know of the awesome way God is working in your life. We welcome you. We're glad that you join us. We appreciate the fact that you would go to the trouble to be out in the parking lot, or that you would go to the trouble to turn on your computer or iPad or whatever you use to listen on the web. We know it's important to you, or you wouldn't take that trouble, and we thank you for doing that. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in your house. It's good to worship you today on your special day. And Father, we know that we can worship you wherever we are, and we thank you that you bind us together through the Holy Spirit, and that those in the parking lot, those that are listening on the web, are all bound together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Father, we just seek you. We want the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. We want to listen. We want to respond. And you know the special needs of every person that's listening. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much you want to meet every one of those needs. We give you honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning to you all, Sunday, February the 21st. It's time to sing. Let's sing a song for our hymn sing this morning, Blessed Be the Name.
Tongues to see.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have a few announcements for you this morning. First, I want to say our services as we have them now will continue on for until advised otherwise. We'll continue on with the webcast and also the parking lot service at 99.1. And we encourage you all to take part. And we welcome all those in the parking lot this morning, and then all those that will be on the webcast beginning at 12:30 today. And so we thank you for that. I want to advise you a little bit of update on our parsonage. The parsonage is now on the market and is for sale. And the realtor told me yesterday that she had 8 showings already lined up. So if you're interested in buying the parsonage, certainly we would encourage you to contact Country Home Realty. There's a sign in the yard and phone number on it. If you're interested in doing that, call and make sure that you have a chance to bid on the property. Next thing I want to do is I want to thank the building grounds and the cleanup crew that went over to the parsonage and got it all tidied up and ready to go. And I want to thank McCord and Jeanette, and I want to thank Rita and Tonda, and then David, and for all your help in getting that parsonage ready to go. And we thank you for your efforts. Update on our offering for the Pregnancy Resource Center. Proud to tell you we're up to $975, and we're going to still hold that offering open until the end of this month, so you've still got one more week to give, so be thinking about that. That's all the announcements I have for today. By the way, if you have announcements and there's something you want us to remember for these services, please contact me and I'll make sure that we get the announcements on for you. Same goes for the prayer list, which we're about to do now. If you have a prayer, someone you want to put on the prayer list, please just give me a call or the pastor and we'll make sure that we get you on the prayer list, okay? The prayer list for this Sunday. I got a call from Ricky Edwards and Shirley, and they have friends in Texas. And as you know, if you're watching the news, the horrific problems they're having with the freezing and cold weather there, 2 degrees below zero, is weather that Texas doesn't know much about. As a matter of fact, doesn't know anything about. And so they're having a hard time there with the power grids. And if there's people there that are cold and freezing and dying, and also people that are hungry because they can't get the food in there to them. So let's remember the people in Texas. Plano, Texas is one that we're being asked to remember, and also in Texarkana. Let's remember Kathleen Hahn. Kathleen Hahn fell, but no bones are broken, but I talked to her yesterday, and she's still having a lot of pain. So let's keep her in our prayers. Let's remember Michelle Hamilton. Michelle Hamilton has been tested positive with COVID. Let's remember also I got a call from Rita Linker and Amy. Want us to remember a Kernersville police officer named Sean Hull. Sean was shot in the performance of his duty, and Sean is in serious condition. And let's remember Sean and the family. I understand his family, that he has some young children, and of course, and a wife and young children. What a horrible thing. And let's lift him up in prayers, please. Let's continue to remember our services here that we conduct each and every week. Let's remember our Pastor Ed. Let's pray for him, lift him up, and all those who have a part in this service. Let's pray for our nation and our leaders as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, this beautiful Lord's Day, Lord, as the sun is shining. It reminds us, Lord, that you give us both the rain and the sun. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you being the awesome God that you are. And now, Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day. And before I ask you for anything, Lord, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for all the blessings. I can look around and hear all the praise reports, and I thank you for them, Lord. But then, Lord, there are those, Lord, that have called and asked us to remember them in prayer or a friend. And, Lord, I want to be specific and take them to you now, Lord, and lift them up to you today in prayer. Pray, Lord, for all the people in Texas who are suffering due to the horrible weather that's there. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, and we ask you would touch and be with them. Pray for Kathleen Hahn as she has fallen. We pray for her well-being and we pray for her healing. We pray for Michelle Hamilton, Lord, as she's been tested positive with the COVID. We pray, Lord, that you will be with her. And we pray, Lord, that you will take care of her body. And then, Lord, the police officer, Sean Hull, we lift him up and his family to you, Lord. And as we know, Sean's in serious condition, Lord, but we know also, Lord, that you're able to heal and you will heal. And we ask for healing of his body. Pray for his family as they're near and dear to him as well. We pray for him and that he will get better soon. And then, Lord, I pray for our nation and as a whole, Lord, and from our county to our state to our national to Washington, D.C., I pray for our nation and its leaders. I ask now, Lord, you remember Pastor Ed as he comes forward and leads us, Lord, in worship this morning in his sermon. We thank you for his time and his efforts. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless this service today. And then, Lord, we'll be very careful to say, Lord, that you did it all. And we make this prayer, Lord, in your name. Amen. Our song of praise today is a song that Kathy High did for us. And Kathy did this in a cappella. And I love her arrangement of just a lovely song that we all learn at a very young age, but it's a beautiful song and a beautiful arrangement. Listen to Kathy as she sings, "Jesus Loves Me."
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died heaven's gates to open wide, he will wash away my sin. Let his little children in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love him when I die, he He will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you, Kathy. And as she sang, I thought about an announcement that was made 2,000 years ago. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God announcing through the angels to some shepherds on the hillside outside of Bethlehem, good news. I've got goodwill toward you. And Jesus talking to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Folks, the good news is today that God does love you. Amen. God's not angry with you. God loves you. And that's the whole purpose. Is that because he loves you, he wants you to spend an eternity with him. He wants you to come to heaven. And I pray that today you've received that love, you bask in that love, you enjoy that love. And today, let's look at some scripture to be prepared for that love. Go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. And this whole passage is in context to some questions that the disciples were asking Jesus about what's going to happen when he comes again. Lord, we know that you're coming back, and we want to know what the signs are going to be, and he gives them a bunch of signs and he tells them. And then in verse 1 of chapter 25, he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for your lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, there shall not be enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now, on the surface, this parable that Jesus told is very simple to understand. There's a wedding going to happen. And there's these 10 bridesmaids that are ready. They all have lamps. They all have oil. They're sitting there waiting. And then, and the custom of in Israel, especially at that time, was that you said the wedding would be at a certain season or maybe a certain week, but you didn't know exactly when. And remember, they didn't have cell phones to say, hey, we're a mile away. And so as they waited, they dozed. And about midnight, it says someone announced, and the bridegroom's here. 5 of them had no extra oil. Their lamps were dying. And they wanted to borrow some from the 5 that had the extra oil, but they didn't have enough to share. And so while the 5 were going out to buy some extra oil, the party began and they were left out. Now, growing up, and probably most of my life, I've heard this preached, and it's a great interpretation. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but we need to be ready. I love that old song, At the Midnight Hour. We don't know when, but we don't want to miss heaven. We want to be ready. And that's still a very valid, wonderful interpretation of this passage. And I encourage you this morning, anybody that's listening to me, if you are not ready for Jesus to come, He loves you. That's the reason He came the first time, and that's the reason He's coming for His church the second time. He loves us. But if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, do it now. Don't even wait till I get done preaching. Just stop right where you are and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You're the Savior. I believe that You died and You rose again. And I claim You. I ask You to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I want to go to heaven. I want to be ready whenever You call, whenever You come. Don't even wait a minute, a second. Right now, at this very moment, receive Jesus Christ. For we know not when He's coming. As I read the scriptures and I see the signs of the end of the time, I think it could be very soon. I'm not going to set a date, but I think it could be very soon, and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to be busy doing other things. You don't want to miss out on His love. You don't want to miss out on the wedding party. So I think the traditional interpretation of this is a fantastic interpretation. The Lord saying to His disciples, always be ready for my return. And if you have things that the Lord has laid on your heart to do, witnessing, sharing, giving, don't wait and say, well, I'll get it done tomorrow. Tomorrow may not be possible to do what you want to do today. But I feel impressed that we need to think about at least maybe two other applications that we can make to this very same parable. Now, it's interesting that Jesus explains a lot of His parables, but this one He really doesn't. There's just basically two bits of information. The first is, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins. And in some translations it says, this will be how it will be near the time of my coming. So Jesus is saying, this will happen near the time of my coming. And then in the end, He said, while they went to, verse 10, they went to buy, and then they came back and they didn't get in because they weren't ready. Some folks will miss the party. The two things that Jesus explains here are that it's near the end and His return, and that some folks are going to miss the party. Let's look at another possible interpretation of this passage. Unprepared folks miss out on fellowship with the Lord. Unprepared folks miss out on the fellowship with the Lord. You know, there can be times in your life when you're a believer, you're a Christian, but you grow cold, you get backslidden, and you miss out. You think about the parable of the sower that Jesus told. The word went out, and some people's hearts were hard, and they didn't receive it. Some people's hearts were shallow, and it didn't last. And some folks' hearts got full of weeds and thorns, and He says, the cares of this world. And I found this to be true sometimes in the lives of faithful church members. They love the Lord. They're faithful. They serve the Lord. And then there reaches a point in their life where they begin to prosper. And they can afford this and that and the other. And suddenly all the, excuse me, all the cares of the world choke out what God is doing in their lives. We don't want to miss fellowship with the Lord because we've allowed the oil of the Holy Spirit to die out in our life. As I was thinking about this coming over today, I was thinking about it's important that we have regular fellowship with the Lord. That time, and whether your time is first thing in the morning when you get up and you've got your cup of coffee in one hand, your Bible in the other, or whether it's the last thing at night, or sometime during the day, it doesn't matter when, but it's important that you have your time with the Lord so you and He can fellowship together. But it's also important that you be so in tune with the Lord that He can show up at any moment and you're ready to receive a word from Him. I was thinking, and these are just a few. Abraham was over there in the Ur of the Chaldees. He wasn't looking for the Lord. And one day the Lord showed up and said, Abe, pack your U-Haul. I've got someplace I want to show you. He wasn't looking for the Lord, but the Lord showed up. Moses was in the backside of the desert. He wasn't looking for the Lord when suddenly a burning bush didn't burn up. And Moses had an encounter with the Lord. Gideon was threshing grain in a hiding place. And suddenly an angel of the Lord showed up. Zechariah was just doing his priestly duties in the temple. And the Lord showed up. Or an angel of the Lord. Mary was just going about her ordinary duties, getting ready for the wedding, and an angel of the Lord showed up. Cornelius was a Gentile who loved God as best he knew how, and an angel of the Lord showed up. And the Apostle Paul, he was on his way to kill some Christians, and the Lord showed up. Now, some of these people were very devout. Some of them weren't even looking for the Lord. But the one thing that they all had in common, they were prepared to meet and fellowship with the Lord when He did show up. Folks, be ready. The Lord may show up in your life and give you an encounter with Him to encourage you, to instruct you, to use you. At any particular time, it may be the next time you go to Walmart. It may be the next time you pick up the phone. These five foolish missed out on the party. They missed out on the fellowship. Let's don't miss out on the fellowship with the Lord because we're not ready and anticipating it. Another thought is that Another way I think I can interpret this legitimately, let's don't miss out on what God wants to do in our world. Now again, remember, all 10 had lamps, all 10 had oil, all 10 were invited to the party, and a lamp without oil is useless. I mean, it may be made out of just ordinary clay, or it may be made out of some made out of some very expensive material, but without oil, it's useless. Now remember, in the Bible, oil is often used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, a symbol of the presence of God. You remember how they used the anointing oil to pour over the priest when they were anointed. And so many times, oil has that meaning. Jesus is saying to us, perhaps in these last days before our return, don't allow the Holy Spirit to die out in your life. You remember Paul wrote in Timothy, In the last days, the love of many will wax cold, will grow cold. Paul was saying that there are people who were at one time on fire for the Lord, but there came a point in their life when the fire died down. The oil of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, can that happen? The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. So we can grieve the Spirit of God. We can quench the Spirit of God. You think about personal relationships. You can be talking to somebody and they can say something that will just quench that relationship right quick. Cut off that conversation. Or you can be talking with somebody in a personal relationship and they can say something or do something that will just grieve your heart. Cause you to want to go off over in the corner and cry. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You know, I know a number of fellows and ladies that are Bible scholars, far more learned than I am. They believe that right before Jesus returns, there's going to be a great end time harvest. There's going to be a falling away, we know that, but that there's going to be a great end time harvest, a great move of God, when there are going to be a multitude of salvations and a multitude of miracles and healings and the moves of God, and many are going to be swept into the kingdom of God right before the trumpet blows. It's going to be a celebration of the Lord's presence, a celebration of His glory, honor to His name. It's going to be a fantastic time of praise and worship and moving of God. Now, who's going to be a part of that? Who's going to be the ones joining in that? Who'll be the ones celebrating? Individuals and churches that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Individuals and churches that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Those who have neglected the Holy Spirit. Those who have ignored the Holy Spirit. Those who have quenched the Holy Spirit, those who have grieved the Holy Spirit will be left out. They're going to miss the celebration. Unfortunately, their whole denominations that were born in the power and glory and the fire of the Holy Spirit that now don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And that's sad. And there's churches, even Baptist churches, that unfortunately don't want the Holy Spirit to show up. Oh, I mean, He can come and do a little, but we don't really want Him to do much. We don't want Him to stir up the status quo. In this great end time harvest, the people that are going to be a part of the fellowship and the party and the celebration are going to be those who are full of the Spirit. Now, question is, each one of us have to face is, will I as an individual believer be a part? Will I be full of the Spirit on fire for the Lord, or will I be cold and indifferent and miss out? The question we have to ask as a church, will our church be on fire, full of the Spirit, and used of the Lord in this great end time harvest? Or will we miss out? You remember the saying, and I don't remember the exact percentages, but like 20% of people do all the work and 60% of the people watch them do all the work and 20% of the people don't even know what happened. Something along that line. That's going to be the way it's going to be. There's going to be 20% or some percentage that are going to be on fire and they're going to enjoy the fellowship and it's going to be a fantastic move of God. There's going to be some that are going to watch it and say, wow, look at that. And there's going to be a lot of others that totally miss it. Let me ask you a question. Are you constantly seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God? Are you constantly wanting to be on fire for the Lord? You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing. It's not something, an experience you have and you get, and once you've gotten it, you don't have to worry about it again. It's a continual walk with the Lord. Let me give you some Bible examples. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, it talks about, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know it was a fantastic experience, and 3,000 people were saved, and it was wonderful. But when you turn over to Acts 4, verse 31, it says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. It said, you know, in Acts 2, they were filled. Acts 4, they were filled again. They continued to walk with the Lord. And then in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, when Paul's writing the Ephesian Christians, in fifth chapter 18th verse, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." He's talking, and the word "be filled with the Spirit" is in a continuing sense. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's like putting your glass under the faucet and turning the faucet on, and it just keeps on running in and running over and running in and running over. It's the continuing presence of the Spirit of God that makes all the difference in the world. Are you, as a believer, seeking to be continually filled with the Spirit of God? Now, perhaps somebody listening to me right now thinks, "Oh, now, preacher, that sounds like such a drudgery. That sounds like a work, some kind of spiritual work or an obligation." No, it should be a joyful preparation for fellowship and celebration. Amen. Now, I'm just giving this as a supposition. Don't take this as an announcement. But suppose I could announce to our church, "Folks, it looks like the COVID is dying out, and we're going to get back together. And to get back together, on the first Sunday we get back together, we're going to have a fellowship meal in the fellowship hall. It's going to be covered dish, and we're going to face to face without masks and give each other hugs, and we're going to eat and enjoy each other's fellowship." Now, how many of you would consider it drudgery to get together and cook a few meals, a few special dishes to come and just enjoy the fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord? No, it wouldn't be drudgery. It wouldn't be an obligation. You'd look forward to it with a great anticipation. Great anticipation. In fact, I can suspect that a few might sidle up to me before the service started and say, "Now, preacher, the sooner you get done preaching, the faster we can have the fellowship." Folks, being filled with the Spirit's not a drudgery or an obligation. It's a joy, a anticipation of our fellowship with the Lord and participating in that end time harvest. We ought to be thrilled to spend that time with the Lord. Let me give you one further admonition. The five without oil could not borrow from the five who had the oil. They had to get it for themselves. First admonition. You can't go to heaven on somebody else's salvation. It doesn't matter if your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa were a greater Christian than the Apostle Paul. That's not going to get you into heaven. You've got to have your own personal experience, your only personal decision, your only own personal relationship with Jesus if you're going to heaven. You can't get to heaven. You can't borrow somebody else's salvation experience. You can't stand before the throne of God and say, "Let me in. Let me in," because Mom was a great Christian. You have to come in on the blood of Jesus just like everybody else. The second one is, you can't live in fellowship with Jesus based on somebody else's walk with the Lord. You can't have a fellowship with Jesus based on what somebody else has. Now, they can inspire you. They can teach you. I have some friends who have tremendous walks with the Lord. But I can't fellowship with the Lord on the basis of theirs. I have to have my own time of fellowship, my own time of prayer, my own time of seeking the Lord. I love to read the experiences of some of the saints of old and how they walk with the Lord. And it thrills my heart to read them. But I've got to have my own. And you've got to have your own. And the third admonition is this. Nobody else can be filled with the Holy Spirit for you. I can go fill my truck up with gas, but it doesn't do your truck any good. You've got to put your own gas in your truck, your car. I can go eat my meal, but it doesn't do you any good. I can choose to be filled with the Spirit of God, but it doesn't do you any good. You have to choose yourself to ask the Spirit of God to fill you, to empower you, to make Jesus real to you. I think it's interesting when you read about the day of Pentecost. You remember Paul in Corinthians, he talks about at one time 500 people saw the risen Christ alive before he ascended to heaven. And yet on the day of Pentecost, there was probably 120 in the upper room. What happened to the other 380? I don't know what happened to the other 380, but they missed the filling that the 120 got. Folks, you have to be filled for yourself. You have to get to the place in your life where you say, "The Holy Spirit, fill me with the presence of God." Please, don't miss heaven. Make sure Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Don't miss the fellowship that you can have through Jesus. And don't miss the Spirit-filled life that can cause you to be prepared to participate in the end time harvest. Make sure your sins are confessed up to date. Ask to be continually filled. Walk close to the Lord. And you won't miss the celebration. I think all three of these interpretations are valid for this particular passage of Scripture. I don't want to miss the celebration, whether for salvation or fellowship or participating in harvest. And I pray that because you realize how much Jesus loves you, you don't want to miss the celebration either. Oh, being in the presence of the Lord is a fantastic thing. Celebrating with Jesus is awesome. Let's don't miss it. Let's don't miss it. Father, as I pray for those that are listening today, if there are those that are listening that do not know Jesus, they don't have a personal relationship with you, I pray, Father, that today they might realize that the midnight hour could be at any hour, the trumpet could blow at any moment, and they're not ready. And I pray, Father, that right where they are, right at this very moment, if they've not already done it, they'll say, "Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. I want to spend eternity with you. I want to be a part of that eternal fellowship, that eternal celebration. And Father, I pray for every believer that's listening. May we celebrate with you the fullness of the Spirit. May we be prepared for the end time harvest and not miss it. May we not ignore the Holy Spirit. May we not grieve the Holy Spirit. May we not quench the Holy Spirit. But may it be said of us, it was said in the book of Acts, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. May we be so filled with you, Lord, that our lives by example and by word testify to the great, great Savior that we have and the great love he has for us and for the world. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.